Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopidana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopidana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanatari Yamuna Tira Vanatari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Sukuttara Stushi Samad His Divine Grace Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Gaur Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All Grace Dear Samadavotis All Grace Dear Samadavotis All Grace Dear Samadavotis All Grace to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, The Process of Creation, Text Number 16. Word meanings, vichakshanaha, highly intellectual, yet whose, charana upasadanat, simply dedicating oneself unto the lotus feet, sangam, attachment, vyudasya, giving up completely, ubhayata, for present and future existence, anta atmana, of the heart and soul, vindanti, moves progressively, he, certainly, Brahmagatim, toward spiritual existence, Gata Klamaha, without difficulty, Tasmai unto him, Subhadra, all auspicious, Shravase, unto one who is heard, Namaha, my due obeisances, Namaha, again and again. Vichakshanayat charanopasadanat Sangam Yudasyo Bhayaton Taratmana Vindanti Brahmagatim Gata Klamas Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namah
Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namah
Vichakshanayat charanopasadanat. Sangam yudasyo bhayaton taratmana. Bindanti brahmagatim gata klamas. Tasmai subhadra shavase namo namaha. Sangam yudasyo bhayaton taratmana. Vindanti brahmagatim gata klamas. Tasmai subhadra shavase namo namaha. Sangam yudasyo bhayaton taratmana. Vindanti brahmagatim gata klamas. Tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, the highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress toward spiritual existence. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna has repeatedly instructed Arjuna, or for that matter, everyone concerned with becoming his unalloyed devotee. In the last phase of his instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, 1864 through 66, he instructs most confidentially as follows. Sarva guya tamam bhuya srinu me paramam vacha ishtosi me dridamiti tato vakshami tehitam manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te prati jane priyosi me sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. My dear Arjuna, you are very dear to me, and therefore only for your good I will disclose the most secret part of my instructions. It is simply this: become a pure devotee of mine and give yourself unto me only, and I promise you full spiritual existence, by which you may gain the eternal light, the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me. Just give up all other ways of religiosity and exclusively surrender unto me and believe that I will protect you from your sinful acts and I shall deliver you. Do not worry anymore. Persons who are intelligent take serious notice of this last instruction of the Lord. Knowledge of the self is the first step in spiritual realization, which is called confidential knowledge. And a step further is God realization, which is called more confidential knowledge. The culmination of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is God realization. And when one attains this stage of God realization, he naturally, voluntarily becomes a devotee of the Lord to render him loving transcendental service. This devotional service to the Lord is always based on love of God and is distinct from the nature of routine service as prescribed in Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, or Dhyana Yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are different instructions for such men of different categories, and there are various descriptions for Varnashram Dharma, Sannyas Dharma, Yati Dharma, the renounced order of life, controlling the senses, meditation, perfection of mystic powers, etc. But one who fully surrenders unto the Lord to render service unto him, out of spontaneous love for him, factually assimilates the essence of all knowledge described in the Vedas. One who adopts this method very skillfully attains perfection of life at once. And this perfection of human life is called Brahmagati, or the progressive march in spiritual existence. As enunciated by Srila Jiva Goswami in the basis of Vedic assurances, Brahmagati means to attain a spiritual form as good as that of the Lord. And in that form, the liberated living being eternally lives on one of the spiritual planets situated in the spiritual sky. Attainment of this perfection of life is easily available to a pure devotee of the Lord without his undergoing any difficult method of perfection. Such a devotional life is full of kirtanam, smaranam, ikshanam, etc., as mentioned in the previous verse. One must therefore adopt this simple way of devotional life in order to attain the highest perfection available in any category of the human form of life in any part of the world. When Lord Brahma met Lord Krishna as a playful child at Vrindavan, he offered his prayer in which he said, Shreya Sritim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho Klishyanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdhaye Te Shamasa Kleshala Eva Shishyate Nanyad Yitla Stula Tushavagatinam Bhagavatam 10.14.4. Bhakti Yoga is the highest quality of perfection to be achieved by the intelligent person in lieu of performing a large quantity of spiritual activities. The example cited here is very appropriate. A handful of real paddy is more valuable than heaps of paddy skins without any substance within. The Prabhupada is giving a purport to this verse, Sanskrit we just read. Similarly, one should not be attracted by the jugglery of karma kanda or jnana kanda, or even the gymnastic performances of yoga, but skillfully should take to the simple performances of kirtanam, smaranam, etc., under a bona fide spiritual master, and without any difficulty attain the highest perfection. Om jnanati mirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So I was going to talk about the verse, and I was going to talk about something completely unrelated to the verse today. Since my time is limited, I think I'm going to talk about the thing completely unrelated to the verse. Because that's the thing that I really want to talk about. This is something about Srila Prabhupada that I suspect few, if any of you, know. So I'm going to reveal this confidential knowledge right now. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he did a lot of course he was such an intellectual, but he did a lot of research about the other religious spiritual traditions, the other sampradayas. He traveled in South India and he studied the Ramanuja Sampradaya and the Madhva Sampradaya, and he learned many things about them. And one of the things he learned was they have a list of names for sannyasis that they use. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta revitalized Vaishnav sannyas. It really wasn't any sannyas until Bhaktisiddhanta reintroduced it. Everyone was just a babaji. So actually, Vaishnav sannyas wearing orange and carrying the danda and so on. He introduced that, and in order to do that, he was doing some research. So in these sampradayas, they have lists of names for sannyasis. If you're going to give, you know, the guru who's giving the sannyasi his name at the time of initiation, it gives him a name from this list. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta compiled a list of 108 names. I read that it was in this book compiled by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called Gaudiya Kantahara. Now that's a book of slokas, so I'm not sure why it would be included there, but in any case, Gaudiya Kantahara means a necklace, Gaudiya necklace, Kantahara means a necklace. So in this book, this list of 108 sannyasi names are there. So why am I saying all this? Because I'm going to explain Prabhupada's name. When Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, we're familiar with certain names in the Gaudiya Math, famous people. We've heard a lot about this Tirtha Maharaj, or this Puri Maharaj, this Madhava Maharaj, or Sridhar Maharaj. We all know. So usually, when you talk about some, even in ISKCON, we'll say Giriraj Maharaj or Lokanath Maharaj. We use a name, and then we say Maharaj. So these are names from that list, Puri, and Tirtha, and Damodar, and Madhava, and these are names from that list. So one of the names on that list is Swami. So when Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, his sannyas guru, Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj, gave him the name Swami instead of Tirtha or Puri or Ashram or one of these other names. He gave him the name Swami. So Srila Prabhupada's name is Bhaktivedanta Swami. That's his name. It's not a title. If you can get this straight, I don't know, people may be saying, what? Swami is his name. It's not a title. It's his name. So we like to be called by our name, don't we? I mean, if somebody messes up your name, usually you correct them. Sometimes people have called me Nataraj. And I said, no, it's not Nataraj's name for Lord Shiva. Well, it could be Krishna too, king of the dancers. So I say, no, it's Nagaraj. So if we say Bhaktivedanta Goswami, that's not right, because it's not Prabhupada's name. His name is Swami. So that was the name that he was given. Now, of course, Bhaktivedanta was there because Prabhupada had a title. That's a title. One thing you find, I've been reading this book on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati by Bhakti Vikas Swami, and in the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave titles like anything. He didn't give them only to sannyasis, he gave them even to brahmacharis and grihasthas. So many people he gave these different titles to. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, he didn't get his from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta directly, but he did get it during his household life. Srila Prabhupada was serving with Bhakti Saranga Goswami, who was publishing a Bengali periodical. I think it was called the Gaudiya. And because Prabhupada was contributing so much to this journal, and his preaching in other ways and his writing was so much appreciated, that some of his godbrothers, Bhakti Saranga Maharaj and others, they wanted to give him some title because this was very much customary in the Gaudiya Math. So they discussed it, and the first thing they came up with was Bhaktisiddhanta. So for a time, Srila Prabhupada was called Bhaktisiddhanta. That was his title. In fact, I have the proof right here. Here it is. When Srila Prabhupada when he registered the papers, it was actually in Lucknow, for the League of Devotees, his name was on the papers. It's listed as item 22. So Mr. Abhay Chirandey shall be the first secretary of this society, da 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 da, so other things. So Mr. Abhay Chirandey. But written above that, handwritten in parentheses, by Srila Prabhupada, it says, alias Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Siddhanta Das Adhikari. A little Prabhupada history for you there, huh? Pretty interesting. So after some time, there was apparently, you know, there was some controversy about using the name Bhakti Siddhanta. So some of the God brothers, they got together and they discussed, well, let's come up with a different name. Srila Maharaj was included in that discussion. Of course, he was a longtime friend of Srila Prabhupada and advisor. Srila Maharaj was really a high person, you could say, very close to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So then they came up with the name Bhakti Vedanta, which essentially means the same thing. Siddhanta and Vedanta pretty much mean the same thing. So Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta. So when Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, that was kept there. Now, in case you think I'm making this all up, this is about the Swami part. We don't know when it was. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Rai Rama, Ray Rama, as the devotees used to call him. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Ray Rama, who was the BTG editor way back in the day. And it's in the Veda base, but it doesn't have a date and a place. So the letters in the Veda base that don't have a date and a place, they're put in the very last month where they have letters, which is September 1977. So if you ever want to look it up, that's where it is, a letter to Ray Rama. It's filed under September 1977 in the correspondences. So here's what Srila Prabhupada wrote. So far the title Swami is concerned, although this word is used generally for sannyasis, this Swami is my particular name as sannyasi. Therefore, it must be suffixed at the end of my real name, A.C. Bhaktivedanta. So far the prefix Swami is concerned, every sannyasi has got to do that. So you'll see today in the Gaudiya Math, they usually put Swami first. So it'll be Swami B.R. Sridhar, like that. They put Swami first. So this is what Prabhupada is referring to. He says everybody has to do that. You have to put the Swami first. He says, but two ways Swami, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, is not good looking. The end Swami is necessary because it is my sannyas name. The first Swami may be transformed into Goswami, which is on the same order of Swami. Therefore, I use the prefix Tridandi Goswami and the suffix Swami, as I have printed on my card enclosed herein. I also have a picture of that. I blew these up on the internet and printed them out as screenshots. Anyway, where am I here? Let me go back to here. As I have printed on my card, so Prabhupada's business card, his business card says, Tridandi Goswami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He also did that with his letterhead. Oh, this will be nice. In small lettering, it can be written above my name, Tridandi Goswami. So if you want to call Prabhupada Goswami, that's the way you should do it. Vaishnava sannyasins are known as Tridandi Goswamis, and Mayavadi sannyasins are known only as Swami. Interesting that Prabhupada used the word sannyasins here, which is, we don't usually put that N there, but it's a thing that people do. Scholars especially, they do that. They say sannyasin. So one reason I want to emphasize this is because, you know, great acharyas in the past, they had their names and they're set for all time. Like the original commentator in the Bhagavatam, his name is Sridhar Swami, right? Who calls him Sridhar Goswami? Nobody calls him Sridhar Goswami. He's Sridhar Swami, right? So Bhaktivedanta, there may be some other Bhaktivedanta Goswami, but Bhaktivedanta Swami, that's our Srila Prabhupada. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
Yeah.
So that's a little... So now you're probably the few in the ISKCON world who know this information. Actually, I have this, as I said, I blew up Prabhupada's letterhead and his business card, where he has it. Tridandi Goswami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Acharya. Actually, this his business card doesn't say founder, actually. Interesting. Oh, this particular business card that I have a shot of was printed in 1969. Tridandi Goswami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Acharya, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And there's an... I think there's an... Oh, 22nd Avenue, I think it's... Oh, no. Actually, I can't read it. It's blown up too much. And then there's his letterhead. This letterhead is from 1960, so this is before he came to America. But again, it says, Tridandi Goswami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Residence, Radha Damodar Temple, Vrindavan, Office, Sri Radha Krishna Temple, someplace in Delhi, Chippewada. Yeah, this is Chippewada. Sri Radha Krishna Temple in Chippewada, 1960. Okay, so just a couple of words about the verse. When I first started reading this purport, I thought, why is Prabhupada saying this anyway? You read the verse and then Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna has repeatedly instructed Arjuna, or for that matter, everyone concerned with his becoming his unalloyed devotee. I thought the sentence was going to continue. He instructed us about something, but he didn't. But then he says his last instruction, and then of course he gives the culmination of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma and Parityajya, and the verses leading up to it. So of course these are very important verses. In fact, if you only learned these verses, you'd know all you need to know about the Bhagavad Gita, really. Then Prabhupada explains how there are basically three levels of instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Guhya, Guhyataram, and Guhyatamam. So Guhya means to understand that we're not this body, basically. And Guhyataram, Guhya means confidential, and then Guhyataram means more confidential, and Guhyatamam means most confidential. So the second one, more confidential, is understanding Paramatma, and the most confidential is understanding Bhagavan, and that we're the eternal servants of Bhagavan. Our purpose in life is to surrender unto Him. So that's what Krishna says. He says, I'm going to repeat what I already told you earlier in the 9th chapter, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Just think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your obeisances unto me. So this again, you could say, this is what else you need to know. In fact, you could just say, Manmana, always think of me. That's pretty much all you need to know. Of course, this is important. Krishna says it twice in Bhagavad Gita. He just changes the ending a little bit. One thing significant about this particular one, the one that he says here in the 18th chapter, Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Pratijane Priyosi Me. So he says, Pratijane means, I promise that you will come to me. And so Baladev Vidyabhushan, he says, well, maybe Arjuna is thinking, well, you make promises, but you don't always keep your promises. You're a Mathurabhasi. What he means by that, you're a Mathurabhasi, so why should I believe you? And what he meant by that was, Krishna's supposed to be in Vrindavan, he's not supposed to be in Mathura. He's still living in Mathura, well, Mathura in a greater sense. Actually, Dwarka is considered part of Mathura. But, so Arjuna may have some doubt. So Krishna says, no, don't worry. I'm giving a vow and I'm not going to break it. Priyosime, because you are Priya, because you are dear to me. Don't worry about it. And of course, in the next verse, Sarvadhamam Parichyaja, he also says, Mahashuchaha, don't worry. Prabhupada puts it like that here at the end. Do not worry anymore. So what's interesting I found about this purport, the acharyas, I looked up the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, and they both say that basically this verse is about jnanis, because it talks about, well, vindatihi brahmagatim, and also this first word, vichakshanaha, highly intellectual. So highly intellectual, talking about jnanis, because they're interested in being intellectual and attaining liberation through their intelligence. So the verse says that by surrender, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then you can get, you jnanis, you can get the goal that you want. You can get Brahman, your Brahma gati. You can attain Brahman realization if you surrender to Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. Now this is important, and they make this point where it's mentioned in several places that they can't get success without some bhakti. This is an important point that we make, our acharyas make. We may think, well, the jnanis by their path, or the yogis by their path, just on their own strength and power, they're going to get what they want, Paramatma realization, or they're going to get Brahma, attain Brahma. But they can't do that without bhakti. So that's actually coming out in this verse. If you surrender, you jnanis will get what you want if you take shelter of Krishna. So the overriding point in this purport today is Prabhupada, he keeps basically making this point that bhakti is what's important. You don't have to do all these rigid kinds of austerities and penances and so on. You don't have to rack your brain trying to figure out very esoteric understandings of Vedanta, for example. You don't have to do that. You just have to surrender to Krishna. That's all. And this last verse, this verse is quoted, where Prabhupada didn't give the actual translation, but he basically paraphrased it. Shriyasritim bhakti mudasyate vibho. This is a criticism of the jnanis, it says. That says that the jnanis, this is Lord Brahma, beginning of Brahma's prayers. In fact, the main theme throughout Brahma's prayers is, I don't understand anything. Because Brahma, he's Adi Kavi, he's a great brain, the greatest brain in the whole universe. It says that his consciousness pervades the whole universe. Narada Muni says to you, he says, you know the universe just like somebody knows a walnut in the palm of their hand. So Brahma's a pretty smart guy. So, but he repeatedly says, I don't understand anything about you. I thought you were this little kid just playing with your friends. Why are they glorifying you so much? And why are the demigods showering flowers? What's going on here? Is this my Lord? Maybe I should find out who this really is. So then he says repeatedly that by jnana is not going to work. You need more than that. You need the mercy of Krishna. So this verse, Shriyashritim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho, says if you reject bhakti and you just try with your through jnana to understand the absolute truth, then you're just wasting your time. The only thing you're going to get is trouble. Just like if you're beating an empty husk of rice, you've already the seed, the fruit of the rice is already gone, and all you have is an empty husk, and you keep beating it, thinking I'm going to get some more rice out of this. All you're going to do is get tired and frustrated. So this is compared to jnana. That's what happens with jnana. If you reject Krishna, if you don't take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, if you don't surrender to Krishna, you will never get success. So that's the basic idea here. And Prabhupada refers to at the end, he refers to the previous verse, yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, and so on. We have many verses like that. Just worship Krishna, just hear about Krishna, just glorify Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. This is the essence of bhakti. And if you do that, what does Prabhupada say? Under a bona fide spiritual master, without difficulty, one will attain the highest perfection. So this is also, of course, is something Prabhupada would always often say. What is the difficulty? Just chant Hare Krishna and follow these simple rules. Anyone can do it. I was just reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Anchalila the glories of Haridas Thakur. So we hear about Haridas Thakur chanting 300,000 names a day. Then when he converted that prostitute, she was also chanting 300,000 names a day. So the Prabhupada said, we're only asking 16 rounds. It doesn't take much time. Anyone can do it. It is not at all difficult. Of course, for many of us, it is difficult. But in the context of, or in comparing to other processes, the amount of effort is very small and the reward is extremely great. It's the greatest reward. So this is what Krishna's saying at the end. You know, Arjuna, I've talked about so many things, but you really don't need to know these things. Just surrender to me, which you're already doing, of course. You're my devotee. You're very dear to me. That's it. And don't worry about, you know, if you're not doing this or that, different rituals or whatever. I'm going to take care of all that. Don't worry about it. All right, let me read the verse again. Let me offer my respectful... Now, we should emphasize, this is... Shukadeva Goswami has been asked questions by Parikshit, so before he responds, then he glorifies Krishna. And he gives like at least a dozen prayers, maybe more. So this is one of those prayers. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all-auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, the highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existence, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. Okay, anything? Shesha Prabhu?
Well, thank you for the class, Prabhu. And one question is, this influence of bhakti that you're explaining, is that just in Kali Yuga because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence and teachings?
Or no, that's always there. That principle is there in the Vedic literature. Bhakti is always necessary to get the result. Which, of course, raises the question, if you don't even believe in Bhagavan, how can you perform bhakti? Raises the question to me. But we see that Jnanis, and even today, Mayavadis, they worship Krishna. So what I've surmised or guessed from this is that bhakti is so powerful that even a reflection of bhakti, even a hint of bhakti, even though it's really not bhakti, in one sense you can say, well, how is it bhakti? They don't really have devotion for Krishna. So they want Brahman realization. But because they're doing it, even on the surface, it's so powerful. Bhakti is so powerful that they're getting some result from that. Krishna accepts it as bhakti and then he helps them. Even though they're actually not sincere, you can say in one sense. There's still that benefit because bhakti is so... So this attests to the power of bhakti. But this is always the case. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes the same point. You need bhakti in order to be successful. That Prabhupada has traced out, you know, there's a verse where for yoga, how you perfect yoga, how you perfect jnana, how you perfect karma, and all of those are offering to Krishna, connecting it with Krishna in bhakti. That's how you perfect all of these things. So in order to get the result, you have to perfect them in some way. So that comes with the addition of bhakti.
Yeah, I have a brief comment and then a question. I've had some association with Gaudiya Math personalities, and they all call Srila Prabhupada Swamiji.
They all call Prabhupada Swami Maharaj.
Or Swami Maharaj.
That's why, I mean, we probably heard for years, you may have heard from Gaudiya Math devotees, they refer to Prabhupada as Swami Maharaj. That's why they call him Swami Maharaj, just like we say Sridhar Maharaj or Puri Maharaj. So he's Swami Maharaj because that's his name. So that's an explanation of that.
The question is I always thought Srimati was for a female gender. Male would be like Sriman or Sripad or Sriman. But how did that Srimati get into the Prabhupada pranams?
I don't know, Prabhupada wrote it. It's not Srimati, of course, it's Srimate. So I don't know if it's... Do you know, Marmati, what it would be without, if it, the I think it's grammar was not?
It's
Srimat. Is it Srimat without the I?
Yeah.
And then the E is added?
Yeah, because the word is Srimat.
Srimat is the word.
Yeah.
In the masculine.
And then in the first case is Shiman, and in the dative case it becomes Shimate.
Okay.
So it's not yeah. Shimati, it's Shimate, it's the dative case.
Yeah, so it's not Srimati becoming Srimate, it's Srimat becoming Srimate,
yeah.
Grammatically. Mahamaya?
Thank you for explaining about that name, Swami, because it's definitely, you know, news to all of us, I think. I wanted to ask you about the title. Prabhupada was very particular about his title, Founder Acharya. And my question is that in Back to Godhead, sometimes it's capitalized at the F in Founder, A in Acharya, and sometimes it's not. And I just...
Well, we're following a style manual, Chicago manual of style. Titles, if it's just alone on a line, like a byline, then you uppercase it. If it's in running text, then you lowercase it. That's the recommendation. So we follow that.
But
you understand? You know what I'm talking about.
I see it in Back to Godhead, but I just...
Yeah, that's the logic for it. Anyway, it's just a style question.
But isn't it, shouldn't it be like hyphenated, like it's one word? I mean, was Prabhupada particular about that?
No, and it's, you know, like on his business card or on his books, then it's uppercase. But if it's being, you know, referred to in an article, then you wouldn't uppercase it. I mean, this is standard style and way of doing things like that. When people have titles, you don't uppercase them in running text. That's the standard we follow. These things are somewhat arbitrary, and that's the one we follow because of the Chicago Manual of Style is our piranha for such things. Sita Deepabhu.
Yeah, I was wondering about the Lord Brahma text that you found or referenced about his consciousness pervading.
I'm sorry, I'm not here. I need a hearing aid, but only for class.
Let me try again. You brought up some Lord Brahma references. There was a verse about him pervading, his consciousness pervading the...
Oh, yeah, that's in the second canto somewhere. I don't know exactly where. I didn't quote a verse for that, but it's mentioned there. The thing about the walnut, I think that in the second canto. In fact, so it'll come up soon. That's Narada's glorifying him. I think there's more than one place where Brahma is explained to be like that. He's an extraordinary person. Of course, he's a guna avatar. So he's extraordinary.
Yeah, because I guess it doesn't contrast, but I've been using the verse introducing the fifth canto cosmology quite a lot recently,
mm-hmm.
where Sukadeva Goswami says, nobody understands material energy perfectly, not even Lord Brahma. And Prabhupada, you know, in the purport says, you know, how no one can understand the limits of the glories of Govinda, not even Lord Brahma, what to speak of the tiny scientist.
Maybe it's a hyperbole. Or he doesn't understand everything, maybe even him. My consciousness pervades my body, but I don't understand much of what's going on there. Prangavinda Prabhu.
I was wondering, there's so much criticism to the Gyanis idea. I mean, Prabhupada, probably one of the Acharya quote that Jayanya Aravindaksha Vimuktamanina, that were so many randomly here, there, just to put them down. But then we also see from the bhakti angle, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Jaga Prayogita Janati Asu Bairagdam Ganam Charjato Haitikam. So Gan has to produce from the bhakti, otherwise it is not pure bhakti. Then again Krishna says, Jayadam Paramam Guyam Idam Ganam Samasrita Mama Sadharma Agata. One has to worship me with this Gyan. I mean, I'm not saying the same thing, but the word is given like almost similar.
Yeah, well, that's the point. The word is used in different ways. We want as much Krishna Gyan as we can get. We don't want the Gyan that the Mayavadis have. We want to know everything about Krishna. One thing I'm finding in reading about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he really wanted his disciples to be educated and learned, and that was one of the titles he would often give, what had to do with learning, with them really understanding the books and being good, proficient preachers in it, and Vidya Bhushana. We have this title, Vidya Bhushana, means decorated with knowledge. So knowledge of Krishna and our Shastras, that kind of Gyan is very important for us. But the Gyan of the Gyanis, where they're trying to really understand the absolute truth just through their own intellect, that's a different thing. That's another thing that Prabhupada brought out in his purport. We have to, you know, with the definition of pure bhakti is you reject jnana and karma. So this is part of course, Rupa Goswami's definition, jnana, karma, jnana, vritam. But that means speculation, relying on our own intelligence. I come across this so much, even in the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das says that jnana and khanda are vishara bandha, pots of poison. He says, I've knowingly drunk them, thinking they were nectar. So sometimes I think, what does that have to do with us? We're not pursuing jnana at all. But then I think, well, but we're still relying on our independent thought patterns and our conditioned way of thinking. We don't know, there may be some resistance when we're hearing from Shastra. We don't accept absolutely that this is Krishna speaking or the Guru speaking. So the jnana, our own speculation, you can say, enters into it. So that's always there, even though we've rejected the path of jnana, path of yoga, the path of karma, and even karma. So we're not karmakandis, but that doesn't mean we don't have still some fruitive desires or desires for sense gratification and so on, which are the heart of karmakanda. So we reject that speculative jnana, but we want to know everything we can about Krishna. Naturally, of course, because we're developing love, and the more we hear about Krishna, develop love for him, then we want to know everything. We want to know everything he does. If you love some person, just like people, they have fan clubs, right? I remember doing book distribution, meeting ladies from the Tom Jones fan club. So he's a singer in Las Vegas. I don't know if he's still alive, but these people, they would travel around like groupies, you know, they had this term. So they wanted to know everything about his life, every detail of his life, because they loved him, you know. So we love Krishna, we want to know everything about him. That's natural. So that kind of jnana is a desirable, not that we reject it. All right, it's late today, so we'll stop. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.